A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will be cleared. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steep. The burning sand will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord, my soul. The God of Jacob keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. Praise the Lord, my soul. The fatherless and the widow the Lord sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, through all generations, alleluia. Praise the Lord, my soul.
A reading from the letter of St. James. My brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Listen, my brothers and sisters, did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his fingers into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, he has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Friends, we are celebrating our patron of our parish, St. Nicholas of Tolentino. And with the Archbishop's permission, parishes have the ability to celebrate with joy and solemnity. Their patron, so that's what we're doing today. We're remembering the mighty deeds that God worked through St. Nicholas. Remember, St. Nicholas has no power, but the Lord, who he was his disciple of, the Lord has power and used Nicholas of Tolentino to do great things. And friends, when we look at our scriptures, we're looking at the prophet Isaiah also, a friend of God, and through Isaiah, our Lord speaks. And so in our first reading from Isaiah, Isaiah tells about a vision of a time in which the eyes of blind people would be opened and deaf people would hear, and the tongues of those who could not speak would not only speak, but they would sing. And if you don't remember, the people of Isaiah's time, they were exiled. So they were kind of people without a land, and they were definitely moving about. And so Isaiah is doing this to bolster their hope and to remind them to have trust in God, that God's coming to their assistance. And not only will they return to Jerusalem, but that there will be a restoration of the nation. Prophet then compares, if you will, the elation, the happiness, and the great joy that the people will feel. And he says, it'll be like a blind man who can see for the first time. It'll be like the joy that a person who cannot hear, who can hear now the voices of his loved ones. He said, it'll be like when someone who cannot speak now speaks for the first time, and he's actually able to say to the person that he loves, I love you. And they will hear him or her. You see, what great joy that is. And he's saying, this is the same joy you're going to have when the Lord comes and he returns you to your land. And then, of course, centuries later, the Jews believed similar signs would accompany the Messiah, the long-awaited anointed one. My friends, St. Mark, the evangelist, is very clever because he uses Isaiah about this understanding and appoints it to Jesus of Nazareth. He says, look, see, this Jesus has made the person who cannot hear, hear, and the person who cannot speak plainly, to speak plainly. And St. Mark does so because he wants to show that, one, that Isaiah was right in what he said, but also he wants to point out, you see this Jesus? The kingdom of God is now upon you. And throughout his gospel, St. Mark likewise continues to show what Isaiah foretold or dreamed about, Jesus is literally doing, and it is coming to pass. In this passage this morning, Jesus restores the man's hearing and his speech. But remember, before this, Jesus has just cured the paralytic. He has told the man, pick up your mat and go home. Because it was difficult for him, one, to do that, but because of his paralysis, he wasn't treated well. He was outside of society, and that's why Jesus says, now go home. And later on in Mark's gospel, no, that was Mark 2, 1 through 12, about the paralytic, and then later on in Mark 8, 22, Jesus is going to restore the sight of a blind beggar. And with Mark, each miracle provided evidence that the kingdom of God was upon them, and that it was breaking forth in the very presence of Jesus of Nazareth. What Isaiah would only dream about, Jesus comes and makes it true. And we're told in the gospel, many of the people around at that time and was witnessing this said, he has done all things well. My friends, this is not just some random statement. It actually is echoing something that we find in Genesis. And I'm going to open our Bible, which is the Word of God. We're going to go to Genesis 1:31. And there we find God looked at all he had done and found that it was very good. Translation, he has done all things well. So now we see some of the people are getting it. This is the Messiah. God did all these wonderful things in Genesis. All of creation. And he made it so that it was good and that it was holy. God created all the worlds and the heavens, and he found that it was very good. God did everything well. The gospel story, we are told the people are astonished. Now, some of them, rightly so, are astonished because they're connecting with Isaiah. But the others, they're not astonished because they're remembering Isaiah. Something else is going on, and I'm going to tell you as your pastor what is going on. There are a few reasons why they said, we're astonished that this man has done this. And the first reason is because Jesus has cured a Gentile. Yeah, we don't have that reaction, but the people of Jesus' time, what? You see, we are told, how do you know this? We are told that he is in the district of the Decapolis. That was Phoenician land, the Phoenician territory. And the Phoenicians are Gentiles, pagans. Gentiles. Jesus, by being in that area and healing that person, dispels the distinction between Jews and Gentiles when it comes to God's love, when it comes to God's blessings. Anyone who will approach God, this is key, anyone who will approach God will be blessed by him. So Jesus is putting, he's saying, away with the way you think. Now, if you still don't, remember last week, they're picking a fight with Jesus, remember, about food. You eat that and you're going to be a sinner. And what does Jesus say? I tell you, no matter what you put in your mouth and you eat it, it's not going to make you a sinner. Now, who were the people that ate only food that was approved? Jewish people. Who were the people that were eating the food that makes you a sinner? The Gentiles. What does Jesus do? No more, no more distinctions like that. St. Paul is doing the same thing, but he's doing something different, isn't he? And said, don't you dare treat that rich person any different than you do the poor person. Does society do that today? Oh, of course they do. So we need St. Paul to come and give some more homilies. Huh? I mean, he'll come back from heaven and speak his mind. He'll be more effective than Father Mark, I suspect. But you see, St. Paul is saying, no more distinctions. Rich, poor, doesn't matter. It tells us that grace is available equally to the Gentile as it is to the Jew. All you have to do is open yourself and come. The second reason that people were astonished was what I had already been talking about the reference to Genesis. He has done all things well. What that means is that Jesus is beginning to undo what sin has kind of messed up in God's perfect, loving work. Remember, illness is often associated with sin. Now, Jesus came and to talk about that and to correct it. But in Jesus' time, that person who was deaf and couldn't speak, that he was like that because he was a sinner. So what Jesus is also doing as he began to teach, I'm going to correct this. So he's correcting what sin has done to God's creation. So the people said, they applied to Jesus what was applied to Genesis in the book. God has done all things well. Now they're saying, Jesus has done all things well. So now I want you to see that connection there. The third reason the deaf and mute person was considered, he was considered to be severely afflicted. One, because I've already told you they were going to consider him a sinner, and he would not be allowed to run around the city freely. He would be treated very, very differently. But the other piece to this is the person who cannot hear and cannot speak, he cannot hear the word of God. And because he cannot speak, he cannot give God glory and praise in the assembly of the people. Thus, the person was severely afflicted not only in physical, not only in the social, but in the religious realm. So Jesus comes and he corrects all of it. The man is now able to go into the synagogue and give God praise and glory for what has been done, along and tell his loved ones, I love you. Can you hear me? He's able to. Can you imagine the man was probably talking 7 days straight without stopping? Oh, I have so much to tell you. It's been in my head all this time. For the people, now they're beginning to see, this is the messianic time. This is the time the kingdom of God is at hand in Jesus of Nazareth. Now, there's something else that we're told. We are told that Jesus takes that man and moves him away from everybody. Can you imagine Jesus? Come here. He's taking him away from, I know Father Mark with a sense of humor, moves him away. Why do you think he's moving away from those people? Because they didn't believe. And that unbelief was beginning to spoil the man. Jesus needed to physically remove him from those unbelievers so that Jesus could instill the faith in him. This will be important. So that then Jesus could heal him. And my friends, in the absence of faith, it was difficult for Jesus to perform his miracles on the person. Are you sure about that, Father? Oh, I certainly am. We'll go back to the Word of God in the Scriptures. We go to Mark's Gospel, Mark 6, 5. A prophet is not without honor except in his native place. We're going to stop. Native place in this meaning has another meaning. It means Nazareth. Who was born in Nazareth? A prophet is not without honor except in his place called Nazareth and among his own kin and his own house. So he, meaning Jesus, was not able to perform any mighty deed there apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. And we're told in the other Gospels, those people were outside the city. And they say of Jesus, he was amazed at their lack of faith. There is a scriptural note. According to Mark, Jesus' power could not take effect because of a person's lack of faith. Father, what is that all about? God's gift of free will. If you don't have faith in him, it's not going to work. Is there a problem with Jesus' power? No, there's a problem with you. What's the problem? No faith. So that's why Jesus takes the man, moves him over here. Don't look at them. They're going to get you in trouble. Look at me. Keep your eye on me. Now you have faith. Be opened. And it's done for him. You see what's going on? So in the other, when there's other miracles, and I know it's not in this gospel, when it seems slow, we're going to hear about one where Jesus puts it on his eyes. Oh, no, that didn't work. What's the problem? Not Jesus. The person that Jesus is working with is doubting and not trusting. And because of that, their doubt and trust are resisting the grace. And because grace is loving gift, it does not force. So Jesus has to get them to faith. And then it just sinks in. Yay! And their faith will be bolstered. The other thing that goes on in this gospel with Mark, the ones that Jesus heals, they do not leave with him. They stay where they are. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that they don't follow Jesus? They stay so they can give testimony to God, giving God the glory in the midst of the people. So they stay behind. Their faith is there. Now they're going to testify and give God glory. And my friends, because Jesus wants them to be aware. And so we hear these stories of Jesus in the Gospels, and they're not recorded just for the purpose that we'll have a good story to talk about. They are done so that we will have confidence in the Holy One of God, the Anointed One that is known as Jesus of Nazareth. We know him as Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. The accounts recorded not only tell the story of Jesus, but strengthen our faith. And really quickly, why does Jesus tell them not to say anything? Because the miracles are not the point of Jesus. He does the miracles so that they will get credibility to what he's saying so that they will respond to him. So Jesus says, shh, don't tell anybody. Of course, being human beings, what do? We immediately run and tell everybody. And God works with that, all right? But that's kind of in short, that's the reason why Jesus could be. Why does Jesus tell them not to, and why don't they follow? Well, we know why they don't follow what he says. But why is he telling him? Because it's not his time. But he also doesn't want to be known as the miracle worker. He is the Son of God. Huh? But my friends, all that Jesus does is so that our faith will be bolstered, that we will have faith and trust, but also that we will respond to it. You need to respond to the Word of God. That's the point. And my friends, and as your pastor, I pray that your response will be to be committed to him, and that you will respond, and that you will do all things well. Don't you think that's a little bit clever, Father Mark? I mean, I'm taking those words. Okay, never mind then. So do all things well in your faith life. Do all things well with your family life. Do all things well in business. Do all things well in the social realm. In other words, do all things well throughout your whole life. And in doing so, you will give glory to God and you will testify. Be attentive to the Word of God in your lives and be ready always to proclaim it to the glory of God to everyone. And this is exactly what our saint does. Our saints, remember, we do not worship saints. We give them tribute because through that saint who opened themselves to God, God was able to do great things. God can always do great things, but he likes to use people. So I'm telling you, let God use you. Let God use you. Devin, let God use you. Let God use you. God's already using you two to make me laugh. God, let God use you and you and you and the other 100 here and the other 100 here. Let God use you because it is going to be wonderful. It'll be incredible. How incredible? Let me tell you about St. Nicholas. Now, you know, Father Mark has a sense of humor. I never mean to be irreverent. But St. Nicholas is first and foremost a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he had a great devotion to Mama Mary. Apparently, his body has fallen apart and he is on his deathbed. On his deathbed, Mary comes and speaks to him and tells him, get out of bed, which for me is humorous. You know, I think he's half dead. Get out of bed, walk over to the table, eat the crusty bread. Well, dip it in water first. I mean, it's kind of funny to me. Dip it in the water and then eat it and you will be better. And I'm envisioning St. Nicholas rolling out of bed, falling on the floor. Boing. Over there, my lady? Is there something about the bread? No. Is there something about the water? No. It has to do with him believing and trusting what the woman, happened to be Mary, told him. If you do this, my son will do this. And he does it. And it required faith. It required him to go over and do that. So Nicholas was a pastor. So every time he went to see someone who was sick, he certainly anointed him, but then he gave him a little piece of bread with water. Eat this. And he told him why. This week, because we're celebrating, I follow the formula for asking for God to bless bread. You'll find it in the narthex. It's for those who are ill. And you can take the baggie with you. You can also take it to another. But it is not magic. It requires faith. So if you're taking it to give to someone and they do not have faith, you need to get the faith instilled in them.